Hello, welcome to the this special edition of the PHP Innovation Award podcast. This is a special edition because we are here interviewing the winner of the Innovation Award edition of 2015. Finally, the results came out. So I'd like to congratulate Dave Smith for his great achievement. He has been a great contributor during 2015. So this is a well-deserved prize. Congratulations, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, every year we record this interview that we'd like to make just to know you a little better, so people know not only more about your work but also about the what you do and how you have been participating in the PHP world. So can you tell a bit more about yourself? I mean, where did you come from? Where do you live? And what do you do?
Well, obviously, I'm from the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I'm old-time programmer, so I'm 50 years old now. I've been programming and in computers ever since I was 10. So it's been a journey. Right now, I'm getting out of the fast-paced programming and kind of just kicking back and doing a semi-retired thing where I'll work when I want to and not work when I don't want to.
Oh, that's great. It's not everybody has that privilege. And but actually, getting back to the actual reason we are here to talk about your participation in the Innovation Award, you actually got a lot of nominations during 2015. Can you start talking about, just give an overview about the package that you were nominated?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say that I came into this year's hoping to bring the United States to the number one position, which we managed to accomplish, all of us U.S. Developers. Let me see if I can't share my screen with you here.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Okay, are you seeing that all right?
Yes, now we are seeing the winner's page.
Right. I think what I'll do is I'll just start where I first came in, which was in April.
Yeah.
And so. Might have been March. Sorry, I thought I had this all set. Oh, there we are. The virtual slot machine was the first one I came in with the year. That basically was just something that PHP classes didn't have. So I thought, well, I might be able to get an innovative package out of that. What it does is it really demonstrates the use of virtual reels mapped to physical reels the same way that all slot machines nowadays work. So it gives you the ability to create your own slot machine. I'm going to move up here to the next month, which was in April. I was nominated for the deprecated function checker. Since PHP started deprecating a lot of their functions, it just made sense to me to create something that would allow you to run through the code and just identify those functions so that you can change, make changes, get rid of them, update your legacy code.
Yeah, that's really useful. Not only innovative, but useful. Because just a side comment, not all packages that are nominated for the Innovation Award are useful. Sometimes they are just cues. They do something different, but some of them are not, are just probably academic exercises. But in this case, this one is actually very useful for the reasons you mentioned of PHP have been deprecating some of the functions, some actually very very much used these days, like, for instance, those of the MySQL extension. So actually very useful. So congratulations for the idea.
No, thank you. I'll move on. to May. We've got quite a few to get through here. Address formatter was one that I did in May. The reason I brought it up is, in my experience, it's always been an issue with how to get formats from physical addresses to match international address standards. And it's always been something that I've had difficult dealing with in all of my projects. So I thought, well, I'll see if I couldn't solve it. So I created that as a method to hopefully solve that one problem.
Mm-hmm. That's also useful, because the address formats vary a bit between countries, and it's a good idea to have a solution that somehow can provide a unified interface to deal with the different formats.
Right, and that's what I constantly ran into. So hopefully others will find that useful. At least it'll give them an idea of maybe a way to approach the problem. Moving on to June was my first win, which was the MySQL to MySQLi. I got this idea from one of the PHP classes hangouts where they talked about, you know, it'd be nice if you just had something you could just drop in, since PHP 7 was dropping the MySQL extension. We needed a way to take all those legacy packages and get them into MySQLi.
Yeah, actually, there was a similar package also considered innovative in the past, except that instead of providing a wrapper for the MySQL extension using MySQLi, it used the it became a wrapper around the PDO, but it's somewhat different. So that's why this one was considered innovative.
Correct. Yeah, and I hadn't dealt with that other. I actually haven't dealt with PDO much myself. So MySQL has always been my go-to guy. And when it was going away, you may read some of the articles. It devastated me. But I had to get used to the idea that MySQLi is better. Might as well use it. So there we are. We're on to MySQLi. Additionally, I had quite a few others in this particular month. The reason so many came in this month is because PHP classes started realized that as people were requesting packages and recommendations for packages, that it didn't make much sense for them to have to wait 2 months, 3 months, you know, a month, 2 months for the package to get developed, and then turn around and wait another month for it to get through the approval queue. So it, so a lot of these packages now were ones that answered those, or were developed specifically for those requests. The a priori algorithm data miner is one of them. It basically is just the data miner using the a priori algorithm, which takes and figures out which of a particular set of purchases can be combined to show what's the best combination of purchases.
Right, that sounds interesting, because I have no idea about that algorithm. So when I nominated it, I actually have to learn about what was it about, because I was not even understanding the request of the user that asked for a package to solve that problem. So it's great to have those packages that address recommendation requests. It's also recommendation system is also a means to give suggestions to authors that want to submit innovative packages, because when there is no package to address a request, that request becomes featured. So if you go to the features, featured package requests, you can get a lot of suggestions for innovative packages. I don't know if you followed that tab or just were following the requests, by then.
Well, that's what I did. A lot of times, if I would go in and try to figure out, well, is there a package that can answer their request or not, and I couldn't find a package, then I would, of course, comment and talk to the person, see what exactly they were after. And more than likely, those wound up going into the featured packages even before they became featured. I was going to decide whether I was going to do them or not. But the reason, one of the good things, like you mentioned, is that if you do wind up developing something for a featured request, it can be considered innovative and get you into the innovation awards, just like a lot of these packages did for me.
Exactly. Well, and just as a side comment, later, actually, to address this, another problem, which is the normal package that this year sort of piled up in the moderation queue. If you actually have a package that addresses a recommendation request, you can go there and just suggest that package even before it is approved. So you will eventually get a priority in the approval of your package. So you can so it can be published and address the need of the person that is requesting the package sooner. So, well, anyway, this is just a side comment.
No, right, and that's what was started in June here, and that's exactly why there's so many packages from me, because I had all these packages sitting in queue, and when you started this feature in June, all of these packages suddenly became available to be approved. So I don't know, there's quite a few in June for me.
I think that was it. I'm not sure, but I think I remember there was a time that happened. Probably it was exactly that month. I'm just not sure because it passed a bit of time since then. Okay, so let's move on.
Move on here with the Hulu video. Everybody was going and showing up with YouTubes, you know, YouTube downloaders and ways to show YouTube videos remotely. And I didn't see anything for Hulu, so I thought, well, I'll take a look and see what Hulu provides. And Hulu didn't provide any type of API. And so I thought, well, see if I can figure out a way to make it work. And that's what the Hulu video does, is it, without using an API, it uses what public resources Hulu has available so that we can have a pseudo API of our own and actually display Hulu videos on our own websites. The PHP autosave form draft was in response to a request. Basically, it uses the HTML5 local autosave feature in the browser and uses JavaScript to manage that. So that if you, as you're entering information, you can set the time span that it will actually save that information in the event that you lose power or you accidentally close your browser or whatever. When you bring it back up, your information's still there and it's saved locally. And to move on then to time dilation, this was actually something I was just talking with one of my kids about, is about how time differs depending on how fast you're moving, which is part of Einstein's
relativity,
yeah, special relativity. And so I just thought it'd be interesting to do something that actually calculated those time dilations depending on where you are and what time frame you are compared to each other. You know, it's the old twin scenario that one twin stays home and another one goes near the speed of light out into space. The twin that stays home is going to be long dead when the twin gets back, and everybody he knows is, you know, he's going to have aged only a year, and everybody else is going to have aged, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah, I remember actually saw a recent movie about it. It was, oh, I forgot. the title, but it actually mentioned that if somebody travels near the light speed, time will not pass as fast,
right,
as the one that is traveling at lower speed, I would say.
That's not just theoretical either. I mean, we now have put, you know, we have all of these satellites in space, and they actually have to use the same calculations to change time because they're moving so much faster in space than we are here on Earth. They have to use the same calculations to maintain time because their dilation is off. Anyway, not much about programming there,
but. Okay, so moving on now, I think
it would be July. Yeah, July was another win for me, and how I won this one, I'm not exactly sure. I think I must have had some crossover from the MySQL to MySQLi. At any rate, the CSV, the data dictionary, it was another answer to a request. Basically, it takes a CSV file and determines the data dictionary and can build your SQL database from that.
I see. It was that one that actually tries to figure the table schema to map the values in CSV, because in CSV everything is text, but in reality, if you notice there is a pattern for numbers, you can map them to numbers, and so that's interesting. Probably the title does not suggest something as useful as it is for people that look at it, but it's, I would say, probably a smart CSV importer. And there is a lot of demand for packages that import data from CSV to MySQL. So this one, I think it is useful for that.
Yeah,
shouldn't be that much of a surprise you actually won the innovation award.
That surprised me. That.
Yeah, okay. It was a good surprise after all. So.
Yeah. And I think that's the only one I had in July.
Yeah.
So in August, I didn't have any. I was in the middle of a project.
Oh, so you were sort of on vacation for the award.
Yeah. In September, I was still in the project. So, yeah, keep in mind, this is something I do in my spare time. So if I don't have any spare time, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, well, I think it's the majority of the authors. They participate because they want to, but sometimes they have other priorities, so they cannot always participate as frequently as they did in the past.
So that brings us to October, where the paranoid passcode, I was actually watching a show and they were talking about, you know, how to get really secure passwords. And the only way to get a secure password is by having a password that the person doesn't even know they have. So that's where the paranoid passcode concept comes from, is that if you really want a password that's secure for everything, then the person that has it can't know they have it. So what it does is it trains the muscle memory to learn the passcode, so that they just can use it without thinking about it. That's the concept behind it.
That's interesting. That's an interesting concept. And then you actually wrote an article about paranoid computing, right?
Right.
Yeah, and just recently I was looking at the statistics of from Google. They renamed it to Search Console, but it used to be called Webmaster Tools, where they show the keywords that are being used to search for content on the site. And I noticed something about paranoid computing, which was actually leading to the article that you wrote. So despite it is an unusual topic, it's interesting there is people, actually a lot of people looking for this topic.
Yeah, well, it's the future. We're going to eventually have to figure out a way to take the user out of it, because that's where all the security fails, is with the user. So eventually we're going to have to take the user out of the picture, and there's people trying to do it right now.
Yeah, well, to access my bank, I have to, let me see if I can show one of these tokens. And although it has a password, if I lose this token, I cannot access it. If somebody tries to clone the contents of this token, it will probably will only work once, even if the whoever steals it gets the password, and from then on it won't work anymore, because the security principle is to actually change some content in the token that will determine the sequence. So only one copy of the token will have that sequence value. So as you were mentioning, the security is relying more and more on other factors. You mentioned in another article about multiple factor authentication. And you're right, it's the user. It is the weak link for having more security in the applications in general.
Yeah, and the only problem with the tokens now is how do you apply that to everything? Because right now it's applied to your bank. But you actually need something that you can apply one token to everything in your life, every device, because everything's controlled by devices now. So that's what they're trying to answer, is how, because right now you'd have to have a token for everything, so you'd have like a pocket full of tokens.
Yeah, actually, now that this is already a side discussion, but anyway, just because we start talking about it, now that Oracle announced the sort of end of life for the Java plugin, and all these tokens requiring some Java code to actually work and access the token information, I wonder how they are going to solve this, how the banks are going to access the tokens. Probably they'll have to resort to native browser extensions, because there are no standard to access the information on these tokens. But okay, let's move on, because this is already a side discussion. You still have lots of packages to talk about.
Yeah, so the next one is the lucky numbers. It's really just, I was thinking about numerology. And basically, people will do their birthdays, and they'll do, you know, special days to figure out lucky numbers to use for gambling or whatever they want to use their lucky numbers for. And I got to thinking about, well, why can't I take full text and say someone has a favorite saying and actually develop a lucky number series from that? So basically, that's all it does, is it takes text and generates numbers based on the text provided.
It is interesting. It's a sort of superstition, but over here, where in Brazil, where I live, lots of people actually take it very seriously, numerology. Okay, I think, why don't you go to work and try to get rich using your work rather than superstition? But okay, that's another side comment. So.
Yeah, so it was just interesting to me to do, so I did it. Okay, moving on to November. Let's see what we have here. .go engine. I, a long time ago, was involved with .go, and they kind of plateaued and never really got themselves out there marketed much, so I got back into looking to see what they were doing, and thought, well, it'd be interesting to at least write something that'll wrap around their API that will allow us to respond, sending to receive and respond to SMS messages directly from our website, which is what .co does. And so that's what that's written for.
Yeah, you actually have written quite a great series of articles about that package too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot behind it. There's a lot going on, so you really need some kind of instruction manual to get beyond just the basics. Because the basics are, I can go to any website and .co will attempt to deliver content for me. But beyond that, they also have the ability to remember and interact with our users if we've set it up correctly. So the articles cover how to set up and get into the more advanced features of .go service and using the package with that service. Yeah. Next up, are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay, next I have the USDA Nutritional Products Database. We're in an environment now where everybody's concerned about what they're eating and what's in their food and how much of this is there and how much of that is there. Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is what all of your big businesses use as the database to determine nutritional content in the foods they provide. And the USDA makes that database available to the public. So this basically wraps around that database. There's several different API endpoints to get all the nutritional information on one product, one piece of food, and that goes from natural foods to it's really anything that you would consume. They've got stuff that you would never think about eating that they still have information on for those people that do eat it. And basically it covers the whole gambit, and it allows you, if you actually go further into it, to develop those. I don't know, in the United States we have the stickers that show, you know, the nutritional content, and companies have to provide that on all foods. They develop those.
Yeah, that's pretty much standard around the world these days, because people need to actually know what is inside each food, because they may or may not eat it depending on the contents.
And you could actually use this package to develop those, to develop all that information for you.
Yeah, I believe that it's quite useful if you are in that field of food production and marketing.
Yeah, well, even dieting, I mean, you could take, there's a lot of diet products out there too. So if a website is dealing with diets, you know, people want to know how much sugars they're taking in, how much carbohydrates they're taking in, you know, all of that. The database, this package can handle that for them as well.
Yeah, that's very useful.
All right. I think I'll move on.
Yeah, there's one more. That
monthly cool packages. Didn't get much votes for that, but it was basically another request. It was answered to another request. Basically, what somebody needed was something that had an approval system for packages that didn't use a database. So this allows a folder system and can attach approval based on packages submitted through folders.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that you didn't get much votes, but that's sort of a consequence of the fact that there are many nominated packages that month. And since each person can only vote on one package, the more packages there are in a month, the greater are the chances for a certain package that does not get many votes, especially if it does not address a popular need, or maybe people that actually voted on the package did not quite understand the purpose, although I tried to clarify why it was nominated. But it doesn't mean that it has no value. After all, you answered to a request of a user, so it is useful, at least for that particular user, but I'm sure it's useful for many other users.
Right. I'm not bitter about that. It's the way it works out sometimes, which is fine.
Yeah.
And that's
I thought it would be interesting to explain, because sometimes people, I didn't get many votes, and I'm upset. My package was so brilliant. Well, the problem is that there is this sort of competition, because many nominations are, there are many nominated packages, the users just can vote on all they like. So they just dedicate their votes to one specific package.
Right. You'll notice that if you actually go through, you'll see that the highest rated or highest voted on packages are always the ones that are computer related, ones that are related to developing, and ones that are related to back end computing, rather than the ones that are really kind of off to the side. So yeah, I've got no problem with wherever they land, they land. We're fine. Yeah.
And often the most requested, the topics that get most interest are related to either with performance or security or getting more productivity to the authors. And there are topics that are very frequent. If you talk about MySQL, you'll get a lot of interest. If you talk about some other database, probably you don't get as much interest as MySQL. So that's the way that the community has sort of divided their interests.
Right. So that brings us to December.
Yeah.
Which, let's see what I had in December. I had the phone number verification, which is a wrap around one of API layers APIs to verify the validity of a phone number. An article was also done with this one to help identify some of the possible uses for it. And one other was the MLM tree binary plan, which is multi-level marketing, which is outside the scope of programming, but it was a request that somebody needed to develop a binary plan, which is a two-speared plan, a left leg and a right leg all the way down. It's basically how someone gets paid in a multi-level marketing scheme or project.
It's also interesting to notice that packages that address requests are packages that did not exist before, probably because not many people had that need. So I think it's natural that they don't raise so much interest from the majority of users that actually vote in the Innovation Award.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. It's only good for a particular niche market.
Okay, so I guess we reached to the end of the nominees for 2015, right?
That's it.
Yeah, okay. So, well, so since you won this award, you are entitled to a few symbolic prizes, one of which is the famous elephant. This is the PHP Classes edition. This one even has a clip over here. I don't know if you can see it well. This is not exactly the elephant mascot that Vincent Pontier designed. This one is a version that was sort of created by a designer that participated in a different contest that happened I think it was 2009, 2010. There was a contest to propose a new design for the PHP classes, And the winning design actually proposed a different elephant to appear on the pages, and probably that is why it won. And so taking the drawing, I took it to a company that produced the plush toy. So this is a sort of symbol, not just of PHP, but more specifically of PHP classes. So as a prize, you will get one of these plush toys. It's meant to be a symbol. It's not exactly a toy like as in a toy that the children would like. And you all also get, this is a prototype. This is not yet the final version. One of these, I don't know if you can actually see it well.
It's a little fuzzy.
It's a bit blurred because it's not focusing here. Anyway, this is the prototype of this trophy. Actually, you'll get two. One because you are the Innovation Award winner of the year, and also a second one because the United States won the Innovation Award Championship by country. And since as a participant from the United States, you and all the other United States authors that submitted packages will also get that trophy. Well, this is just symbolic. It's not made of gold, unfortunately. We don't have the budget for it. But anyway, I hope you have enjoyed participating in the Innovation Award this year. I hope you actually continue to participate with great packages. It's good to see that people like yourself have contributed with so many innovative packages that address real needs. Some of them are not trivial, but they show that you have a great concern to address the needs of people, and for that the community as a whole will appreciate. And now that I also mentioned the Innovation Award Championship by country, that is an initiative that was started last year. Last year it was won by Italy, if I'm not mistaken. Many authors of Italy actually also got their trophy and also an elephant. Besides yourself, the other authors nominated this year will also get their elephants. And I'll just need to collect their addresses so I can ship them soon to you. And also these trophies will be personalized, so they'll show your name and also show why you actually won that trophy. So in particular you'll get two this year because your country also won. So one will say that you are the winner as an individual, and the other will say that you are the a winner as part of the team of United States. So once again, congratulations. And continuing with this interview, I would like to also ask you what other nominated packages, besides those that you sent, that you liked from those that were nominated this year, 2015, that those may or not be from other authors from the United States. It's up to you. Just if you could comment about a few that you found more interesting, it would be useful so we can also give them some deserved exposure.
Sure. There's a few that I liked. I'll try to screen share again here to talk about them. Can you hear me? I've lost audio.
Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, it's all fine. Can proceed.
All right. I must have done something wrong. At any rate, first I wanted to talk about an author, Samuel Adesina. I really liked some of the packages that he put in. A lot of his on the edge of artificial intelligence, a lot of algorithms to determine and figure things out so the computer can figure things on their own. I'm just going to scroll through some of his here.
Yeah, not all of the published were nominated, but some were.
Right. Well, I take the sentiment analyzer where it'll actually try to figure out if a given text has a positive or negative sentiment to it. That's right on the edge of generating AI or artificial intelligence. If we're going to do artificial intelligence, we got to be able to have it be able to feel something. And that kind of hits right at home for trying to figure out, you know, where we need to start to do that. The user predictor, if I remember correctly, it takes a image, and tries to, and determines the gender, age, etc. You know, these are all really interesting things, especially for a 17-year-old. So I'm really impressed with the stuff that Samuel did.
Yeah. Since you mentioned it, as you may notice, there is not a right age to participate. You can participate with innovative packages, regardless how young or how old you are. And it's good to see people of different generations participating in the Innovation Award.
Right. So I'll move on to specific packages that I liked from other authors. One was the Fuzzy Logic Library from Gaston Silva out of Argentina. It's only been his only package. Hopefully he comes back and submits some more. He didn't get a very high vote on it, and I think probably because he got a bad deal by programming in a language other than English. So.
Yeah.
But I really found the thing interesting because, well, Fuzzy Logic is interesting on its own, and it's something that really is where the future is going, rather than, you know, a straight if-then-else scenario. The Fuzzy Logic applies some flexibility to that, which, once again, works towards artificial intelligence, which is kind of where I'm kind of focusing now, is, you know, thinking about the future of computing, which AI is where it's at.
Yes, that one, as you mentioned, probably didn't get much interest because the topic is not so obvious to most developers. They probably, a great part of the developers do not even know what it means. The concept of fuzzy logic, but that doesn't mean that it's not useful. It's just probably not everybody will appreciate for not understanding the topic.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see Gaston Silva come back and do some more, because I really found this one interesting. And for developers out there, I mean, that's the future. Fuzzy logic is coming. You might as well get used to it, because it is the future.
Yeah, and this one, side comment, this one was all implemented in PHP code because you mentioned a couple of packages by Samuel Adesina. One of them was implemented in pure PHP, that a package that he wrote, and the other one was more one that called an API. I think it was the sentiment analyzer that actually was written in pure PHP, and the other one was calling an API. I don't not recall which
that
API.
That was for the image?
The one. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. APIs are good, too. I don't mind service providers.
Yeah. Well, if there is a solution ready for you to solve sometimes complex problems, Why not? Maybe there is a cost when you start using them a lot, but most API providers, I mean the commercial ones, often provide a free basic plan.
Right. And for developing, the free is fine. And if you actually are going to be using an awful lot of bandwidth or service resources, there's no reason that that shouldn't be paid for.
Right. And any other authors, packages that you want to mention?
Yes. Next one I'd like to talk about is the Matrix Similarity by, who did that one? By Ghali Ahmed out of Tunisia. Basically, what I found interesting about this was that it analyzes a grid, and it analyzes whether a grid's contain something or whether the grid's empty. And then you can make moves, and then the grid's analyzed again. So basically, it allows in gaming, some simple gaming processes to figure out what a next move could be, what your possible moves are. But then in a bigger sense, and I talked to him a bit about this in the forum, is that it could actually, you could use the same thing, just expand it a little bit, to actually move an object from one point to another through a space. So, yeah. You know, this, once again, artificial intelligence, if you're going to be moving something, it needs to be able to be aware of its surroundings. And this would be the algorithms to be make it aware of those surroundings so that it could plot its course the same way we do when we walk and when we move.
Yes, that was actually a difficult package to review and approve because I was not really getting how it worked and what was its purpose. So I had to ask the author to clarify it, and then he told me it was applying it in 2D games.
Right.
Then it started making sense, so I could actually approve it with a more clear description.
So, yeah, I found it very interesting.
And the next one.
For the sake of time, we'll move on here. We've got the PHP Random People Generator by Alexander Selifnov out of the Russian Federation. Although we were in direct competition this year with Russia for the Innovation Awards, I still like this package. Basically, what it did is it allows. It's mainly for testing. From the main use, you'd use it to generate people so that you can test scenarios when you're developing. But it had the ability to do a tree, and so now we could actually build an entire genealogy of fake people from, you know, father to and mother to son to grandson to great grandson, and you know, just keep building the entire genealogy as many levels as you needed based on this one package. So I found it really interesting was that ability, because then you can take it outside of the development testing arena and you can move it into gaming.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was not exactly the first class that appeared to generate fake data, which is, as you mentioned, useful for elaborating tests. But this one has a plus, which is to be able to specify more details about what you want, like gender, birth dates, and relationships with other people, and that actually made it more useful and being actually innovative for that.
Right. Well, that That may be why you chose for it to be innovative. Yeah. I liked it because it had the ability to build the trees, which, like you said, there's plenty of packages out there that allow you to build fake data. This allows me to build a genealogy on a family tree, which I just love. So that's why I chose this package as one of my favorites for the year.
Yeah. And anything else? Or
One more. That's the Ghost Crypt, which...
This is one of the more recent ones.
Yes. And what I liked about it, initially I thought it solved a problem, which was how people get in, how to encrypt your files in a way that people can't easily decrypt them. And working with the author a little bit, I actually figured out a way to make it a little bit more secure than just the normal, what's normally done, with Base64 encoding and some hashing. What made this really interesting initially was that it was self-packaged, so you didn't have to supply anything else but the one script file, and it would decrypt itself, which is what made this innovative, I'm sure, in the first place.
Yes, there are actually other classes that already do that, and even some people do not like classes that add security by encrypting code, because ultimately you have to provide the passwords to decrypt the code, so it's not really a serious protection. If you really want a serious protection, probably it's better to buy one of those commercial encoders that rely on closed source extensions, which do not reveal the encoding algorithms. They are not foolproof either, but they provide an higher level of protection. But if you just want to protect your code against nosy bosses that actually are not programmers and just want to change your code, if you provide your code with a simple solution like this, you add some protection. Not obviously a full protection, and for that there are some people that actually are very noisy complaining about these claims of protection, and they just claim they are no good, but I think they are still a bit useful for those cases, and despite they are not foolproof.
Right. Well, that's the ones I have for other authors.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that was also an interesting point of view, explaining the ones that you like. It is useful because despite this is a competition for the PHP classes community, what matters really is that people actually contribute with things that are above the average in terms of utility of the packages. We all know that we do not need more MySQL database wrappers, but if, for instance, you provide a wrapper that emulates the MySQL extension that is deprecated, and it works with the MySQLi extension, it becomes more useful, and that is the purpose of this award. So, congratulations to you and all the others that participated, and I hope the award itself, or even the prizes, which, as I mentioned, they are symbolic. They are not made of precious metals or like in the Olympics that you earn gold medals. They are just symbolic, and I hope they can express somehow the gratitude for authors like yourself and others that sent great innovative packages for the benefit of the whole community.
Well, sure, it's always nice to have something to put up on the shelf, isn't it?
Yeah, and if it means if it shows you the meaning of your participation and value that you share in the site, I think they accomplish that purpose. Anyway, this we are getting closer to this to the end of this interview. I just like to make just a brief set of questions, just to tell a bit more about, for instance, about your plans. Like, do you intend to send more innovative packages? What are your intentions? I know that sometimes you are busier, you don't have much time. What are your plans?
Well, yeah. PHP classes provides a means for us to anybody of any level to be able to put together some object-oriented packages and to present them to peers that can take a look at them. And maybe some are useful, maybe some are more useful than others, but it's always a way for us to get some coding out there and to learn from others and to, you know, have critiques are always good in my view. So will I continue to use will I continue to contribute? I don't see any reason why I shouldn't continue to contribute when I have time. And if I have a good idea, I think that there's no reason I shouldn't share it.
Well, that's good to know. I think the communities of all will always appreciate more innovative packages, not just from you, but everybody else. And apart from that, I hope the innovation world not only has been useful for you and others, but also been fun to participate. That's why we provide some nice symbolic prizes. That is the purpose of the initiative, to make it useful, but also fun to participate. And
there's monthly prizes as well. So as you participate,
yes, yes.
You know.
And there is also a value, which is for sponsors. There are companies that participate. They provide prizes, and it's all for free. I mean, they provide prizes. They do not have to pay any fees to participate, and they also have the opportunity to expose good products that they have for PHP developers. So given that those prizes are good, and the winners that participate and are nominated and pick those prizes will also have that extra benefit. So I appreciate that. Is I hope that is all beneficial to everybody that participates, not just the authors, but sponsors that get nice exposure to their products. And another thing that I usually ask every year, we have this interview on with the winner. One thing is outside the PHP classes site, if somehow participating in this innovation award has provided you better opportunities, maybe better job opportunities or other opportunities, maybe to be recognized outside the site. I don't know which, if that was the case with yourself. Did it somehow help you get better opportunities?
Well, sure. All exposure gives you more opportunities, and being part of the Innovation Awards, I mean, that gives you additional exposure. I've had a couple of opportunities where I've been able to do some small side jobs and help some people out, some little bit of consulting here and there. But one of the major jobs that I wound up getting was because I did the one package for API layer, which is now one of your sponsors as well.
Yes, that it was interesting how things work, because it seems they somehow you are working for them and helping them, and then they also became interested to become sponsors and provide as prize one the a subscription to one of their APIs, and to show that is also a great opportunity. There is one winner that already picked their prize for the first time. They just joined recently, so because we are never sure that if some prizes are more interesting than others. But it seems that they are getting interest, and just because we mentioned that, also I'd like to mention that every time that somebody, a winner, a nominee, picks a prize from a sponsor, that prize will be listed not only in the list of winners, but also in the page of the package that the person that was nominated published. So they get additional exposure, yet, and at the same time, the site can hint other authors of, if you send innovative packages, you can earn these nice prizes like this author did. And so it's a whole benefit. But sorry for interrupting. You were mentioning that you actually got some work with API Layer, right?
Well, that's correct. That's how I met API Layer. It was through PHP Classes. It was the first API wrapper I did for them. They took notice of it, and they contacted me to get my ideas about what we could do in the open source community with PHP. And so I was consulting with them a little bit and figuring out different wrappers that we could do around all their APIs, because they have several APIs. And yeah, that moved into helping develop some of their APIs for the future, which are coming out in the future. And that all came from creating an innovative package on PHP Classes. So see, it all started right with you.
And I should also mention that your participation, actually writing articles about those packages that use their APIs, also gave me an idea that it would be probably very interesting for other companies to publish tutorials that actually teach how to use their products, and rather than just advertise the products, like, oh, use my product, buy from me. If you actually show a tutorial, it's more useful for the users, so they pay more attention. So eventually it is a way for them to get more customers, and probably at a fraction of what they spend, for instance, in Google AdWords or other means of advertising insights. So because of that, I actually contacted other companies, and now they are working together with some authors to elaborate more tutorials that actually help users to learn how to use their products, and they also get some advertising and the potential new customers. So that was a great benefit for everybody. So for that, probably it was not intentional, but it had that great result. So I would like to also express my appreciation for you to actually bring this idea to the site of having a sponsored tutorials. That is what we call it nowadays. So from now on, you'll see more sponsored tutorials. They take some time to produce, but they will start showing up more in the site for the benefit of everybody. Okay, so other than that, just one of the final questions. It's more, it has nothing to do with the innovation to award. It's more with PHP Classes site. And I always try to ask this question, which is basically in three parts, which is for you to tell me one thing. You don't need to tell all the things, but probably one thing that is more important to you that you like about PHP Classes. And then another thing that probably you don't like or you would like to be improved. And finally, one thing that you would like the site to have and probably missing because there was no time to implement it. I know you have sent already some suggestions, but I would like to hear your opinions because personally, I find them very valuable. So what can you tell us about these three aspects? One thing that you like, one thing that you probably do not like, one thing that you are missing.
Yeah, you can't say I haven't been vocal. You just have to go to your forums.
Yeah.
And you'll see that I've been fairly vocal about things that I like and don't like. And
I wish many other authors would be also be vocal about that, because sometimes I have no clue about things that are important and should be improved. But okay, go ahead. What
I think one of the things I like most about PHP Classes is probably one of the things that takes the hit most on. And PHP Classes allows every type of programmer to get their classes published and out there. So you can be a novice, or you can be an engineer, and you can still get your classes published on PHP Classes. So everybody can get their code out there, and it allows them the opportunity to hear back from their peers about, you know, what they can improve or what they've done great, or, you know, I just like the whole community that PHP Classes is. And I think it takes a hit because you get people out there saying that, oh, you're getting bad code, and you're getting people that are presenting garbage, and nothing's garbage. You got to remember that these are open source. They're provided for free. You're able to use them, manipulate them, learn from them, and everything out there has some value.
Yeah, exactly. That is something that I have to learn how to handle over time, because criticism is useful, but at the same time, people that are criticizing, they are not realizing that they are not criticizing PHP Classes, they are criticizing the PHP community, where there is a wide range of developers with different capabilities. Some are more experienced. Others still have not learned about important things, but the PHP Classes itself will not censor those authors. As long as they publish their code in form of classes, that is the basic requirement that will be approved. There is this sense of democracy, equal opportunity for all developers. And now that you mentioned people that criticize, I don't have a problem with people that criticize. I don't take it personal. And the only thing that I would say is that if there is bad code as well mixed with good code in PHP Classes, there is also much more bad code and mixed with good code in GitHub, because they don't have any moderation at all, at least in PHP, because there is some moderation. It's like 15% of the packages that are submitted to PHP Classes, they are not approved sometimes because they did not submit classes or did not figure out to submit their files. I try to help as much as possible, but when people do not comply with the basic rules, I cannot approve them. And but that's okay. I don't. I just try to pay attention to criticism, but sometimes criticism is not taking in consideration all these aspects. So that would be the thing that you liked. So now, what about something that you do not like or would like to be improved?
Well, we've discussed this already in the past as well, and it has directly to do with the Innovation Awards. Well, no, not the Innovation Awards. It has directly to do with the what's that gaming gamification you got going?
You mean the reputation or
not the reputation, but the
levels?
The badges.
Badges, right?
Yeah. So to earn your badges, you have to have a particular number of users that download your packages.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've had this discussion in the forums, and it really, the way it's set up right now, it's kind of irks me a little bit. Is that the more popular I get as an author, the less credit I get for my packages. Towards that. Yes, because what you're doing is, if you're only counting unique users, user downloads 10 different of my packages, I only get credit for one and not the 10. So anyway, that's something that's the one that irks me.
Yeah. So your suggestion to improve that would be to make a different count?
Yeah, you need to count the number of unique downloads for a package, so that if the same user downloads the package twice, you only get one, but not where if the same user downloads multiple different packages, I should get a credit for each one of those. If I have a user that's interested in 5 different of my packages, I should get a credit for each one of those packages he downloads.
Oh, I see. So that would be for to meet the mission requirements, right? To match level of user downloads.
Correct.
Yeah, right. So it would be a different count. Well, that's something I thought of that, because sometimes we think, how can we improve this and still make it fair to everybody? So if I probably change what I am counting, that would solve your objections in terms of what you think it should count.
Your current system is going to take us to zero. As you become more and more popular, and as more and more people download your packages, eventually you're going to go to zero.
The download are the same, right?
Right.
Well, I think that. Probably not hard to adjust.
Well, you already have the count. You already have the counts in the individual packages.
Yeah. Well, in reality, it's all in a single table with millions of rows that instead of counting unique users, you should count accesses, which would be downloads or code views, because the site counts an access even if the user did not download the count, the class. If you just viewed the code, it already counts for you. So I have a table for that. That's an interesting idea, because it's interesting that you are the first person that mentioned it to me, but that doesn't mean that there are not others that are also objecting to the way it counts, but I'll take a look at what is possible to be done, and hopefully it is not as complicated. What I'll probably also do is to adjust the levels of the numbers, because probably all be a bit disproportionate, because some people have many downloads for different packages, but well, I understand your objection. It probably is not encouraging you to send more packages, because
Well, it doesn't much matter.
Many, it almost won't count.
But it's not fair, if as I see it. As I see it, it's just something that's not fair. So,
okay. But know, I think it makes sense. And
there it is.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely will think about it precisely because of what I said. If you have that objection, probably there are many other authors that have the same objection, but they are just not expressing. So I'll definitely will evaluate that possibility, and let's see if I can fit it in my development schedule soon. Okay, so one last thing would it be one thing that you think it is missing and you'd like to be implemented?
Well, we as a group have discussions in Google groups, which we've discussed some of the incentives for getting packages quicker through queue. That's something that's been discussed in the forums, and it's been discussed outside of the forums. And I really think that, you know, it seems like it's been in discussion for years. It would be nice to actually get that implemented, to actually have some kind of reward program, I think. And it'll be up to the author whether or not, you know, he takes advantages and uses it. So I think that would be something that it'd be nice to see.
I'm not sure what you mean. You mean something to have the packages approved faster for certain authors?
Yeah, we're talking about the incentives for, like, if you provide a quality package or you provide a package for that answers a request, you know, getting some points for that and then being able to spend your points.
Exactly. Oh, I really want to implement that. I have it sort of half implemented, but that half you won't see anything because it's just the structure that will record the privileges. And that is probably before you start becoming more active. It's like 2013. And I already talked about with other authors about having this privileges and precisely which privileges they would like to get for the reputation points that they earn for doing good things. So, but this one is, I'm sure it's not trivial to implement because it will be a sort of currency system, because points, reputation points will become a sort of a currency for you to trade for benefits. And I certainly would like to do that, not because I promise, because I would like to see to boost further the engagement of users. Actually, I have studied this topic a lot. So you understand how far this has gone for me, I have started playing games, playing Candy Crush and Plants vs. Zombies, just to understand how they have implemented the mechanics of giving boosters, and which are basically privileges for players that achieve things that are important. In this case, it's a thing that is more serious. It's not exactly a game, although some people call it gamification. It's just using the game mechanics and an environment that is not a game. But I can assure you that I won't implement that. I just need to fit it in my schedule, because nowadays I have parallel projects that are important because they also will boost the revenue generated by the site, and that will provide some funding that justify implementing these things. But definitely I want to implement that, and just not sure how soon I can do it. I hope soon, but I really cannot promise anything. The only thing I can tell you is that it is sort of, I'm not sure if it is half, but it's probably half of the logic that is already there. It just don't have it fully implemented. And if I also would like to request your feedback on that, because I have already posted a survey in the past on which authors tell me which privileges they would like to get. So I'll probably send you a survey, that survey, which is the same that I posted in the past. So you can also contribute with ideas of privileges that you think it would be important to provide. And then it would be just a matter of balancing the amount of reputation points and the type of the reputation point that you could redeem. So if you are interested, I would definitely would like to have your feedback on that. And in that case, I'll send you the survey so you can give more input on that. Okay?
Yeah, I'll be happy to fill it out. We've had several forum discussions. So if you actually go into your forums from the beginning of the year, we've actually discussed this pretty thoroughly in the forums.
Yeah. Yeah, and now that you mentioned about it, I probably should also pass that to the other authors, because I'm not sure if all of them filled that survey in the past. That survey is like sent like in 2013. But if I'm going to implement something, it has to be, it has to address what people are expecting as a good thing. So I can give you more information about the status of that. I already defined a set of privileges that you can earn, and then how much they would cost in terms of reputation points. It's not money, it's just the currency that is used. And also the type of reputation points, because you cannot redeem all types of reputation to get benefits. For instance, if you are getting reputation points for participating on the site, coming to the site and logging every day, probably that is the type of reputation that is not as good to be valued. There are more interesting types of reputation, but I'll show you what I have so far, and then you can comment further on that. I'll certainly would appreciate your time, because it will take you some time to look and evaluate.
Okay.
Okay, so we practically are ending this interview, which ended up getting a bit long, but I think it was interesting. Just one question regarding if there are any companies, anybody listening to this interview that would be interested to hire you, maybe that you can use your classes to help their projects or some other form of work. If you are interested, of course, I don't know what are your priorities right now. If you are interested, how they could contact you to hire you?
Yeah, they can contact me straight through PHP classes if they want. They just have to hit that little contact button or contact link, and I'll get the message, and I'll listen to anything, everything anybody has to say.
The professional profile contact page, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. That should be easy. I'll in the show notes of this recording, I'll post that link so they can go straight there.
Yeah, that way I'm just not posting my email address out there for anybody.
that's why I mentioned the professional profile, because you will get a contact via a private message. So we practically ended this interview. I would like to thank you for coming and giving your feedback on many things, and also congratulate you and the United States once more for this achievement. And hope to see you back contributing more in the future. So I don't know, is there anything else probably that I have not asked and that you would like to comment, or maybe not?
Well, aside from learning that you're playing Candy Crush instead of programming on the site like you're supposed to, no, nothing.
No, it's not that time burning, but
Of course, I'm joking.
I have to advance quite a bunch of levels to understand what happens in the higher difficulty levels. It's a bit, some people probably find it a bit silly, but it's amazing. I just heard that the company that developed Candy Crush was sold like for, was it $6 or $8 billion?
Yeah.
And if you look at the game, but this is a silly game. Oh, it's not that silly. They have really worked out very well their mechanics to engage people. And I know they use heavily data mining to understand what they could optimize and check if their tricks are going in the right direction. I'm certainly not at that level, but I'll try to do that once I get more knowledge about what can be done to optimize the engagement of the users for the benefit of the whole community.
All right. Like I said,
So,
I was joking for anybody out there who may have thought I was serious.
yeah, but I used to develop games like when I was a teenager, and then I stopped because I was not seeing a great future on that. And now I realize that I was so mistaken because the games industry is huge. Well, I'm not complaining. It's just a decision that I made once. But nowadays, I don't play except for learning those aspects, as I mentioned. Okay, it was great to talk to you. And well, let's see what you can come up with your participation in the future.
Yeah, don't forget, I've got three packages in January for people to vote on.
To vote, not to approve, be approved.
Yes.
As besides the ones that to be approved, I also have to rush up the queue. It is being reduced a bit slowly, but soon it won't be as long as it used to be. So with this, we have reached to the end of this recording. Once again, thank you for your participation. I'm
Thanks for
on
having
my
me.
behalf. That is all for now.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.